with autoimmune conditions or any other medical conditions that come to us and are like, I'm scared. I've cut out all these foods because a lot of times I read this in a Facebook group. They can be so supportive in some aspects, can also be quite damaging because someone's like, hey, I cut out dairy and like all my symptoms went away. And now our client cut out all dairy. And then they cut out more and more. And then
cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hours Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and you can find all of our 400-plus episodes of the Autoimmune Hour over at understandingautoimmune.com. And I want to thank FeedSpot for calling us out in a good way, giving us this really nice honor of being number 2 in the autoimmune podcast you should be listening to. Fantastic. We're striving for number 1. Absolutely thrilled to come in at number 2 for 2023. And also thank you, Om Times Radio, for the OMI Award. Really appreciate you honoring the show as well. And I'm really excited about tonight's guest. It's a topic I don't think I talk enough about because once I began to understand and explore it, I know it's really changed my well-being routine. And I think it's pretty prevalent in the autoimmune, I'll call it industry, is food shaming us. I don't know about you, but when I first got sick and I would read lots of things, and sometimes Dr. Google is a no-no, guys, not a good thing. So, well, I'll say mostly be really prudent about Dr. Google, because when I first leapt into it, I started reading and they're saying like, throw out the nightshades, which is like tomato and potato, things like that, and throw out gluten and throw out dairy and throw out lectins. And after a while, you're like, what do I eat? So I invited Amanda Mittman. She's a registered dietitian with Happy Valley Nutrition. And I also want to point out, you might notice the name. She's also the daughter of our dear friend and what I like to call in-house lifestyle and re-scripting coach, Roberta Mittman. And Roberta and I were talking, and I was talking about this disorder, or what I want to call it, industry-wide disorder. And she said, talk to Amanda. So here is Amanda. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. And congratulations on all your incredible awards and recognitions that you've gotten for the podcast.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, sometimes you begin to do this for so many years as we have. We started in January of 2015. After a while, you begin like, why am I doing this? And then you realize that, oh, people are listening. So it's changed my life and my understanding about autoimmune as well. And one of the things I wanted to, I'll just quickly read it, because on your website, the Happy Valley Nutrition website, you had this one line that caught my attention, and that's why I was like, this is really important. Mm-hmm. You talked about your own story, which I want to hear in your own words, but the line was, my eating disorder was fueling my life. And then you go on to say, I had disordered eating and orthorexia. Mm-hmm. Now, I had to look up orthorexia, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is an unhealthy focus on eating in a healthy way.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, that just describes so many in the autoimmune community. So please share a little bit about your story around food, and then we'll get into how do we overcome this.
Oh yeah, I don't know if we're going to figure that out by the end, but we can certainly have a conversation about it. And again, thank you for having me. And I'm Amanda Mittman. I'm a registered dietitian, and I live in Western Massachusetts, and I own a group practice of registered dietitians and a yoga therapist, and we focus on weight-inclusive, fat-positive, anti-diet nutrition. So that is just like to shorthand it, it's we don't focus on diets. We don't help people lose weight. We help people heal their relationships with food from eating disorders and disordered eating and their body through intuitive eating and body image work. So that's the work that I've come to in a very circuitous way. And I didn't go to school to be a dietitian. I actually worked with my father in interior design. And the reason why I chose nutrition, my mother actually influenced me because she's at the time and still is an acupuncturist. And she was working one-on-one with clients and just, you know, having such great success and loving it. And I'm like, I want to do that. I want to work with people. At the time in my 20s, I was definitely had a challenging relationship with food. You would definitely, if I came to me as a client, I'd be like, we need to get you some help. Unfortunately, disordered eating is very accepted in our community and in diet culture. And I'm sure also, like you mentioned, in autoimmune spaces, cutting out food groups and eating smaller portions and lots of movement and exercise. And so for me, food, nutrition, and my body were like 90% of what I focused on. And I had very little space for anything else in my world. And so I said, oh, I'm going to be a dietitian. I'm going to go to school so I can tell people what to do. I want to tell people, I want to help people lose weight. I want to tell people what to eat because I know, because I did it for myself. And so you'll find a lot of us kind of in this industry came to it through disordered eating. It's just what happens. And I'm not saying that people who are nutritionists or anything are disordered. Everybody has their own story, but it is something that I hear quite often. And so I went to school, got my dietetic license, didn't practice right away because I had a child. And then I still struggled with my own relationship with food. Again, orthorexia is a focus on clean eating, on being really, really, really healthy. And there's also alongside it, it's this incredible fear that if I eat anything or do anything that doesn't support quote unquote healthy, right? And usually for us, for me, healthy meant a smaller body. It meant not eating processed foods, right? There was such a focus and obsession on it that, again, as I said, it fueled everything. And so for me, how I came to this work, now I do the complete opposite, right? Like I don't help people stop eating processed foods. In fact, I help people start to eat them. But I came to this because I realized I hit rock bottom. I was like, I can't live this way anymore. I remember like sobbing on the floor because I ate a cookie. You know, I'm like, this is not normal. And I don't want to pass this along to my child.
Right.
And I want a bigger life for myself. And so I, you know, started my own healing with, you know, therapists and other dietitians and groups and things like that. And kind of arrived at this place of nutrition and health is so much more than food and your body size and your labs. It's a more holistic way of looking at it. And so I started, I want to do this work with people. This is the work that I want to do. So I started off as myself and I've grown it to, you know, five other dietitians with me. And that's kind of what we focus on. And I'm really honored to do this really, I find, important work.
Yes, the relationship with food I found fascinating. For people with autoimmune, some of us do have food sensitivities. And I do, from the allergist, I've learned there are certain foods, not whole groups.
Right,
you know, we're not
right,
throwing the
right.
baby out with the bathwater. Yeah. There are certain ones that I do stay away from. I've noticed that they do cause a yeah. variety of symptoms in me. Yet I find this wholesale throwing out of food groups very disturbing in the autoimmune community. And many times someone will say, oh, I don't eat gluten, I don't eat dairy. And I said, well, have you been tested? Are you celiac or gluten sensitive? No, I was just told not to eat it. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you're terrified of foods that could
yes.
be quite helpful for you. And that, I think it's that fear that people are adopting, getting rid of whole food groups without the testing behind it to know whether or not their body does react to it. It's not unheard of that our body can react to a food.
Sure.
And that's what concerns me, is how we quell this fear and let people get back to the rational science mm-hmm. of eating.
Yeah. And those are our clients, right? The people with autoimmune conditions or any other medical conditions that come to us and are like, I'm scared. I've cut out all these foods because a lot of times I read this in a Facebook group, right? The Facebook groups, right. They can be so supportive in some aspects, can also be quite damaging because someone's like, hey, I cut out dairy and like all my symptoms went away. And now our client cut out all dairy. And then they cut out more and more. And then we're at this place where the amount of foods that they're eating is very, very, very small. And they're afraid to start eating again, understandably. I totally get that. And I also understand why, you know, I've had health issues before where it's like, hey, cutting out X, Y, or Z might be helpful. You better believe I'm going to do that so that I can try and feel better.
And sometimes you can cut it out for the short term. Doesn't mean that you don't, you know, test or try again later on. I interviewed a woman one time for the show, and it was a different topic, but it just came up in the conversation. She was eating three foods, and she'd been doing this for a couple of years. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, maybe it stopped the symptoms she had been complaining about, but that cannot be healthy just to have down to this idea of three foods. It was actually quite terrifying to me that someone could live like that. And the idea of not going and getting some expert advice on how to find out adding a food back at a time or something like that.
Yeah.
So as you're talking to people who have gotten this, I'll say, ill-advised information and fear about food, what are some of the first things that you look to uncover when someone comes to you with like this fear about food?
The first thing is understanding like what the fear is about. Is it the fear of, if I'm afraid I'm going to eat something and my stomach is going to hurt? I'm just broad speaking, right? Or because, you know, in the past, and I've had, you know, horrible chronic diarrhea from nuts. Now I'm afraid to add them back in because I don't want that symptom to happen again, right? So there's that fear. But then there's also the fear of, well, I've cut out all these things. I've lost a lot of weight. I'm feeling good in my body, but now I'm feeling kind of like, you know, my relationship with food is not feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid that if I add the food back in, I'm going to gain weight again. And that is certainly understandable. And then we will work with that person on acceptance of their here and now body so that we can start adding foods back in if that is the fear. Because a lot of times we're cutting out sugar, flour, like a lot of the more foods that people kind of associate with, well, when I ate those, I was a higher weight and now I'm in a lower weight for reasons we don't know the mechanisms behind that. But I will help work with that person to start introducing food slowly and systematically, and also picking off the lowest hanging fruit. Like, what is the least scary food that you want to try? Or what is the thing you miss the most? Sometimes that's when we start, like, what do you miss the most? And some people are like, I miss grapes. I don't know. Right. And we're like, all right, well, let's start with grapes because you want to add that back in. Right. And that's what I'll do. I have one client now who I've been working with for a while, and she has MCAS. And so she had some very serious symptoms and cut pretty much everything out. So she had a very, very limited diet, and she's somebody with a history of disordered eating. And so we really want to work on, how do we vary your diet within the kind of the realm of MCAS, right? Sticking to what you can, but like varying a little bit. So instead of having brown rice, like what can we add to the brown rice or the potatoes? You know, what can we explore adding to potatoes that might make it feel a little bit more satisfying? She was like, I want to try butter. I'm like, great, let's try butter. And she tried butter, small bits, you know, like a little bit as increasing amounts, butter was fine, right? And so that's what we work on. Because I think also, and you can speak more about your community, but what tends to also like leave when people are focusing so much on the nutrition piece is the joy.
Oh, absolutely. There's so much emotion around food. It's a social activity. It's not just nutrition. It's a social activity. And I just want to throw out there, MCAS is mast cell activation syndrome. And we just had Dr. Ann Hill on a couple of weeks ago. So check that out if you want to learn more about what is MCAS. And why it is a rising disorder. Dr. Hill's an expert in it and other mystery diseases. So go to understandingautoimmune.com, type in the search bar Dr. Ann Hill, and up will come her latest episode that we just did with her. She's a returning expert on our show too, because she does specialize in these mystery illnesses. So I'm glad you brought MCAST up, because it's not technically an autoimmune condition, but we find a lot of people with autoimmune symptoms have MCAS.
Yeah. And it's challenging because I want to, as the provider and the clinician, you know, I always very trauma informed and patient centered. And I want to, you know, never want to force anything on someone. If someone really believes, like, if me not eating this food is really making a difference, I'm not going to be the one to be like, well, you need to eat it. Right. But I think we also need to, someone can benefit from working with a professional, another clinician, to really get under the root of what is the fear and why am I doing this?
Right.
Because again, so often it is weight related, right? And then that's when our relationship with food and our body become disordered.
I know when I was first diagnosed and they wanted to put me on high doses of a steroid that will remain nameless, but most of us in the community know. And my first comment was to my family members, I don't want to get fat. I don't want to go on it, because it's notorious for weight gain, among other things. Mm-hmm. It is in part kind of a miracle drug, but it also has a lot of side effects that people need to be aware of before they go on it. That was my first response to it. That response was more in my mind. It was one of those aha moments, like, okay, this isn't just about the drug, Sharon. This is about the relationship with yourself, your body, and what you're putting into it, the food too.
Mm-hmm. So it's a good point. I mean, I hear that a lot too, especially with maybe psychiatric medications or things like that, of like, you know, there's a medication that might benefit me, but I'm afraid to go on it because I'm going to gain weight. And I want to honor that. Certainly not here to shame anybody for that, because it's really hard to have a larger body where we, you know, in our diet culture land, it really is. And there's a lot of judgment and value and morality that we place on the size of our body. And so, of course, I can absolutely understand if someone said, you know, that's an option, but my body's going to get bigger. Mm-hmm. I feel really scared about that. And these are the things that I talk about with my clients, you know, not like, don't do it. It's like, let's talk about it. You can always choose what you want to do. But I think giving it voice is so important, because we all think the same kind of things around our bodies and weight and changing bodies, whether it's through age or an autoimmune condition or anything like that. But nobody talks about it. Everybody's like just sitting in their own shame spiral, and we're not talking about these things. And that's why it's really important for me that we do have these conversations around changing bodies, around our relationship with food. It's always kind of constantly changing, no matter what aspect we are in our life. But it's an important conversation because it helps reduce the shame.
It does. And I think it's an important conversation that should be had much more often, and feel free to give voice to it. I was embarrassed to say that to my medical professional. Luckily, my loved one encouraged me to talk more about this idea. And was that going to keep me from getting some intervention that I needed? Because it wasn't a healthy way to look at what was going on in that current moment. Mm-hmm. Luckily, this person was able to talk to me about certain things at this moment are not a forever thing. You know?
Right.
We can work through this and that kind of thing. And I think that's really one of the important parts when we are given a diagnosis, whether it's autoimmune or something else. And oftentimes it's talked about in terms of, here's your label for now and forever.
Yep.
Whether it's diet related, autoimmune related, some other label, this idea of, okay, now that's, you know, permanently engraved on us, and not being able to take time and work through those different labels. And what can we do if we're not happy with that label?
100%. I mean, I think about like diabetes, right? Like there's so much stigma around that. We have a diabetes educator that's on my team, and she's constantly talking about this, like, you know, the shame or that kind of comes with different labels. And, you know, that's the first question I ask somebody if they're newly diagnosed. I'm like, how did it feel to get that diagnosis? How did it feel for your doctor to say, you know, hey, you have X, Y, or Z, even if it's like you have high cholesterol. Okay. Like we all have meaning that we make. We all have judgments, morality, as I said before. how was it for you? And people are like, what? I'm like, yeah, let's talk about it. What did it feel like to have that diagnosis? And also the first thing that people ask me is, what can I do? What can I eat? And the truth of the matter is that often there's no answer. Often it's, we put so much attention on food and nutrition, and I'm not going to disagree that it's not part of it. But I think sometimes we put a disproportionate attention on it because we can control our food. It's much easier to put our focus on something that we can control, like what goes into my mouth, we try and control our weight, right? Than it is sit in the distress and discomfort of, whew, this is happening to me. This feels really big. And sitting there with it before we act, our first as human beings, we don't want to be uncomfortable. We want to experience discomfort. So it's like, how can I fix it? And so often it goes to food. And that's, I think, sometimes where the problem, if someone has disordered eating, it starts to snowball.
Well, that's the interesting thing that you said to me was that's the one thing they can control.
Yeah.
But as in the early part of my diagnosis and things, I fell into that trap. Pretty soon the food began controlling me.
Mm.
It was, yeah. Okay, the no dairy, that's a control. I mean, you know, it's a weird dynamic where I can control it. Yes. But then all of a sudden there was a whole list of, thanks to social media and other, my own Dr. Google, was that this huge long list of things that were controlling me. No, not that, whole big food groups.
Right.
And it was only through this taking control back of diet and what I was able to eat. And you did mention this idea of slowly adding things in. And I love that guess. And I call it my guess and test method.
That's really what it is. I mean, honestly, that's what we do too, because there's no way for us to know. So it's like, let's just start somewhere. And I always say, to my clients, you're in control. You are the expert of your body. I've never lived a day in your body. So you're going to be the one to guide us. And I'm just your co-pilot, kind of like holding your hand and supporting you. So like, you're the one that's going to tell me, hey, if I add back in almonds, what happens? And so we're also just being like, all right, let's start somewhere. Let's see how it goes. Yeah.
I had found out through a series of testing that parsley was contraindicated for me. Very specific. Parsley.
Yeah, that is very specific. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And unbeknownst to me, I remember calling her a few days later. I guess it was about 3 weeks into a particular wellness protocol, and I was feeling much better. I thought I was on I still do it. So I was on a good track. But I remember calling her about 3 weeks later. I go, I think I've been parsleyed, because I remember the night before I had ordered a meal and it came with a little parsley sprinkled on top. And this was pre-pandemic, guys, when we were anyway. And I scraped it off without thinking about it. And the next morning, I woke up just with a massive headache.
Wow.
So I called her up and I said, I think I've been parsleyed. And one fascinating fact she said to me was, well, actually, what I think has happened is we've reduced your inflammation levels to so low that you're noticing inflammation now.
Right. And like, you're so sensitive to it now because you've reduced like the overall inflammation load. And so even that little bit, those little sprinkles or what I was touching, and that's actually like a good thing that you can notice that.
It was a great thing. And I don't want to slam parsley here, guys. Yeah. It doesn't, not a wholesale slamming of parsley.
No.
It is my body. And I'm actually going to be retested for it soon because that was a few years ago. And because I liked parsley and I may like it again.
Sure.
I just want people to know I'm not slamming parsley.
We love parsley. One of the things that came up is when you were chatting is, when we start to, like you had that friend or client, whomever you worked with that had three foods as we start to remove foods. And again, if you're removing foods because you got tested or because they don't feel good, like you do you, this is not like a blanket statement, but as we tend to remove foods out of fear, or like we take whole groups, right? So now we're like not eating flour. We're not eating white things. We're not eating this and this and that. Now we're only eating like protein and vegetables. What tends to happen is that most people, they cannot live like that because it's not too pleasurable. And so what tends to happen for some people is that it's almost like a pendulum, right? And I talk to my clients about this all the time, is that the pendulum has swung in one direction all the way over into restriction, right? Whether or not you're restricting because you have an eating disorder, or whether or not you're restricting because you're dieting, or whether or not you're restricting because of a medical, you know, something else happening. The pendulum has swung over to one side. And so what tends to happen is I have clients coming in, they're like, and then I binge on, or I had this experience, I kind of call it like loss of control eating with sugar or with the flour or with, you know, I didn't just have one donut. I had a whole tray of donuts. And so, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So the pendulum has gone from one side and now we've swung all the way to the next. And that's what keeps happening. And I say, all right, I'm not going to ever eat donuts again. I'm not going to eat the sugar or the flour. Pendulum goes back over and back and we're swinging. And that's when we feel major distress. And that's when people call me. They're like, I feel quote unquote crazy around food because I don't know what to do and I don't know what to eat. And so my job is to kind of bring people into that middle where the pendulum just kind of like rests. It's not one extreme or the other. It's a messy, that's where we play and explore that messy gray area of what can food look like to you based on what you can eat, what you can tolerate, what your medical condition guides you to do. And then also like satisfaction and joy.
We need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Amanda Mittman a little bit more about that messy middle. We'll be right back.
The Autoimmune Hour will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by understandingautoimmune.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and you can find all of our previous episodes, plus this episode, over at UnderstandingAutoimmune.com. And tonight we're here with Amanda Mittman, and she's a registered dietitian and founder of Happy Valley Nutrition. She's been sharing her thoughts about, she calls it disordered eating. I love it because I think with an autoimmune condition, oftentimes we take too many unexpert advice on all these wholesale things that we should be doing. So my question is, as we're hearing the conversation we've been having, how do we know, gosh, maybe it is disorganized or disordered eating. Mm-hmm. How do I know when I should be reaching out?
That's a great question. I would say if there's any sort of question of like, this doesn't feel right, or perhaps if you've had it in your history, have had disordered eating or an eating disorder, or if something just doesn't feel right, or like when you eat, there's anxiety around food. Or again, like I said at the top of the show, how my life became very consumed with food and prepping. Oh, and prepping food was another big one. Like your world starts to shrink and starts to be more focused on food. That's a really great time just to reach out to somebody. It doesn't have to be like an eating disorder dietitian. I'm not diagnosing anybody with an eating disorder. You know, we're not allowed to do that anyway as dietitians, but just another clinician to chat with, even if it's a functional provider of like, hey, this is what's going on for me. Something just doesn't feel right. My world is starting to shrink. I'm feeling a lot of anxiety. I don't know what to eat. I don't know what to do anymore. I feel like I've tried everything. I'm still having symptoms. Those are all good clues to reach out to somebody. And I just want to say with nutrition, most dietitians take insurance. And so you could often use your insurance at no cost to you to see a registered dietitian. And there are incredible dietitians who specialize in gut health and autoimmune and thyroid. Like everybody kind of has their own niche that you could find somebody.
I think that's good to know because oftentimes I've talked to what I'll call my primary.
Yeah.
And they'll agree that something that as a word shocking, like, maybe you could use a little help, but they're definitely not, that's not their big primary focus is understanding the nuance of nutrition.
No. And I'm almost glad when they stay in their lane and they're like, I don't know, have a referral, as opposed to what we find a lot of medical professionals and doctors. And I love doctors. If you're a doctor listening to this, instead of saying, hey, have you tried cutting out carbs or have you tried going keto or paleo or whatever? And we're like, you're just saying it because you heard it, or maybe that's what works for you, but not necessarily for your patient. And then again, because most of my clients have disordered eating or a history of, or an eating disorder, it sends them into even more of a tailspin. And then I'm kind of left being like, don't listen to your, let's kind of clean this up a little bit. So doctors don't know. And so the best thing I could advise is a referral. Can I have a referral too? One thing I want to also say about dietitians is I think we get a bad rep. We're kind of known as like, Coca-Cola, gives money into the Dietetic Association. And we're kind of old school, very Western, focused. And that is our education, not going to lie. But there are so many incredible dietitians that are more functional based, or, have kind of caught up with the science, even if our education hasn't. And so I just want to say, don't knock dietitians. I know that you're not, but a lot of people are like, I want to see a functional nutritionist, but I'm also a functional nutritionist too. And I'm also a dietitian. So the right person is out there.
As you're interviewing people, I guess interviewing may not be the right word, but what questions should I ask just to see if it's a fit? I mean, I'm not really that big behind labels as long as it's a educated, licensed type of label. I have found amazing people who have, as you do too, two or three specialties, maybe even more.
Right.
And so I'm not that big on sort of the label as long as it's a real label. But just to find out if it's a good fit for me, I mean, they might be the most amazing functional nutritionist, registered dietitian in the world, but maybe they're not right for me. What questions do you like clients to ask you to kind of just vet, like, are we a good match?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I always say finding a dietitian or a therapist or even any clinician is like dating. Just because there's another person across from you, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's your person. And so that's what I always say to people, if it's not me, I will refer you to somebody else because you as the client deserve to have somebody that you feel gets you. So often people, as you've seen, like people put on their websites like, hey, I have on my website is how do we know that we're a right fit? And we give like a whole list of statements of like, do you find yourself like, you know, over-exercising or thinking about food too much? Like there's a whole list of you to like, oh, I resonate with that and that. And that's how I think a lot of people say, oh, I read your website and I really resonated with that. And then a lot of people also offer free consultations. So we offer like a free 15-minute call, right? To see, you get to talk to your dietitian, see if you're a good fit, see if you like them. And I think a lot of other providers do the same thing. Talk with that person, ask questions. And also don't ever feel badly if you have one session with someone and you're like, they're a nice person, but not my person.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. And it's not doctor shopping. There's a big difference.
Yeah, sure.
When I was going early in my search for my team, I have an amazing team now. And yes, it takes a team.
Yeah, it does.
but I have an amazing team now. But honestly, I went through probably a dozen practitioners, sometimes more than that, just to find the right fit for me that understood me and where I was wanting to go with it. Because this idea of where I'm wanting to go with it, you know, it was about optimizing. And sometimes I would meet practitioners like, well, you know, you're never going to get cured. Which, well, I said, well, thanks for the downer on that.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I never did say cure, did I? I said, I wanted to get to this place in my life where my health is as optimal as it, whatever that is, you know?
Yeah.
And what was interesting is I met a woman one time and she's still on my team. I was having that first session with her and we were chatting and I finally just kind of called time out for a second. I have to ask you a question. And I said, you know, either you or someone close to you has an autoimmune condition because these are not normal questions. Mm. And I go, can I ask who, if that's true or not? And she said, oh, I have an autoimmune condition. And I kind of went, okay, we didn't have the same, you know, label,
right.
But at least I was like, wow. That's where these questions of deep understanding were coming from, of what it's like to have an autoimmune condition.
And that could be helpful too. Because if you're someone, people, again, read my website and they're like, I liked your story. I resonated with your story. And they want to work with somebody who has been through the same thing or something similar. And that can also be helpful too. And if that's important to you, if someone like, let's say you have the hypothyroid and you want to work with somebody who also has it and has lived experience of that, that's really important to know because there is a connection when you meet somebody else who's like, oh, I get you. We can do this because they know how to ask the right questions or like, they really can empathize with what you're going through. And I think that that's so important. And I always say like, don't ever worry. Providers, don't ever get mad if you say, I'm not going to continue anymore. I'm going to go somewhere else. Like, we just want the best for you as the patient or client, you know?
Well, actually, a couple of times, I think probably they sighed relief as I walked out the door because they just realized that, you know, we were on different channels or something.
Yeah, it could be. And I think a good provider knows when to refer out as well. Like, I've had clients I've worked with on like one issue, maybe on the eating disorder, disorder eating, kind of have to work on that first. And then we kind of get into the health stuff. And sometimes it's like way beyond what I know how to do. And I'm really, really honest about that. I'm like, hey, you know, like you, like, this is more than I know. I can take you this far, but I have a great person that I can refer you to who specializes in XYZ.
Right. You're graduating.
I want you working with the person that knows that. So I think also asking, you know, to go back to your question, how do I know what questions to ask is like really being honest, like this is what's coming up for me. Is this something that you've had experience with before and that you feel comfortable taking on?
And I think that's important, especially with complex issues.
Yeah.
Like an autoimmune, oftentimes people have more than one diagnosis, or maybe they get one diagnosis and they work through that and goodness sakes, it pops up somewhere else. You know, maybe it's been in the thyroid and they're doing really well and it's under control. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, goodness sakes, then it pops up as a skin disorder or as a gut disorder. Yes. I mean, that's not uncommon.
Right.
I really like that. And I also want to say, we talked about whether having the clinician have lived experience. And that doesn't have to be, in my mind, them going through it personally. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've done a lot of cases like that and they have enough information from their case environment that they get us. Or maybe they have a loved one, or a family member, loved one, or a dear friend who they understand and get, that they can understand what it's like to be us. You don't, in my mind, the clinician doesn't have to exactly walk in my shoes to be able to get me. But I do have to feel we have to be headed in the same direction. Sometimes people can offer us advice and it just somehow inside me, I'm going, yeah, no, no, no. That doesn't even have to be a bad advice. It's just all like, yeah, well, great. But I just know me. I, for whatever reason, I'm just going to feel resistant to that.
Yeah. And I think that's where trusting your intuition comes in, of like, yep, this feels right. Or the advice that I got, or the treatment that I'm going to be getting, that feels aligned. Or it's like, there's something about this that's bothering me. Or like, if you ever get advice, I see this a lot, where a doctor, and I'm talking like a functional doctor or whatever, gives somebody like a meal plan of like, okay, you're going to cut out all anti-inflammatory foods, like whatever, whatever. And then the person never starts it.
Well, they're overwhelmed. Yeah. It's almost like you need to find a personal chef or something. Like, oh, they want me to eat XYZ. I've never even seen that in the grocery store. I don't even know what that is.
Exactly. And so if there's this hesitation of like, my doctor's giving this to me, and or someone's giving this to me, and I can't get going, that's a sign that that's not the right thing for you, or you need more assistance getting to that place. But typically the things that we're given are very limited. And like the thought of a life, if it's, and you might have to cut this out for whatever reason, but like the thought of a life that you're not allowed to eat like a potato might be really sad for some people. And I think being really honest with like, I need to do this on my own terms. I cannot follow this plan. And that's why, again, people will come to us and are like, I was given this thing and like, this isn't, I can't start it. Something's wrong. And then what typically happens is that people feel like there's something wrong with them. I'm lazy. I'm not motivated. What's wrong with me? I'm like, it's not you. It's the plan. It's really restrictive. Like, what aspects of this can we pull out? So I also just want to say, if you do get guidance from somebody and you're not able to implement it, it's not because you're wrong. It could just be the wrong advice for you in that moment.
Yeah. And I like to say in that moment, because oftentimes there can be emotional factors, lifestyle factors, all sorts of other things keeping you from implementing what on the surface is a perfectly fine plan. Maybe yep. It isn't that limiting, but maybe you just have angst about the idea of being put on a plan, a schedule right. of some sort.
Right.
Being honest with your providers about that. Oftentimes I find people say, I'll chat with them. I said, well, did you tell anybody about that? No, you're the first one I've ever told. And I mean, I'm just talking to him like a friend. Be honest with what's going on besides maybe just the obvious physical things. Be honest with your providers about what's really going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And so often we're given a plan. It's like that inner toddler comes out and we're like, you can't make me do that. I ain't doing that. Right. Like that's the first, we all have that part of ourselves. Right. And, you know, something that you can say if someone's like, okay, here's this thing. I want you to follow it. You're kind of da 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 da. You know, you could say, or even reach back out to them and be like, I don't think I can do this all at once. If I were going to ease on into this, what would be the best way to start? Or what would be the easiest way to start to ease myself into this? Because it can be daunting to start something. Or what happens is we get super excited. We're like, this is going to be the thing that fixes me or heals me or whatever. And we go all out and we buy all the groceries and we're like, I'm going to prepare all my foods. And then that usually lasts for like a week, maybe two. And then we're like, we can't keep that level up. And the honeymoon period is gone. And then we're kind of left like, what's wrong with me? It's my fault. I can't keep it up. It's like, nope, it just was never aligned with what you were able to do.
Well, and let's talk, we don't live in a bubble either. This brought to a story that a friend of mine who had found out the gluten sensitivity, so did give up gluten right. for a valid right. reason.
Yeah.
Yet their family members did not. Mm-hmm. And every weekend there was a ritual around big family breakfasts yeah. that usually involved baked goods and the smell of toast and blah blah blah. And she was just like, it drives me nuts to get up in the morning. I want that piece of whatever, you know, that grain or whatever. Sure. And so there's a lot more into starting these things, because the majority of us don't live in a self-contained world where, okay, I'll never smell toast again.
Right. And asking for support from if you live with somebody or other people that you have in your life is also very important too. And maybe it's like, can you please not make toast anymore, or like do this thing, or how can we make this homework gluten-free, or, you know, asking it, you know, if you're starting embarking on a new diet, or I don't mean weight loss diet, but way of eating for a condition, you know, talking with whomever, if you live with somebody and be like, you need help. We can't do it alone.
Oh, there is. There's so much emotion tied up around food.
Oh, yeah.
We just have about 5 minutes left, Amanda. What are some things that we haven't talked about yet that you would really love the audience to understand about our relationship with food?
Yeah, I'm going to swing this in a totally different direction, if that's okay. I'm going to
go for it.
And I want to just bring up really briefly the concept of grief and body grief, or and even grief around food. You know, if you have a condition, let's say, and you're gluten sensitive, or you're diagnosed with celiac, or, you know, there is sadness that comes up when we can't have a food anymore. And there is grief and sadness that comes up if our body starts to change. It's going to change anyway as we get older, but if it starts to change because of our medications or our diet has changed or whatever, I just want to honor the fact that sometimes we don't like to feel grief. Sadness doesn't feel very good, but it's so important in healing our relationship with food and our body. Is like, I'll say to my clients, have you like taken time to mourn the fact that like gluten is off the table now? And they're like, no. I'm like, well, can we just like have a silent moment for gluten and really talk about how that's going to affect your life and what emotions and feelings are coming up for you around this? And the same with your body. Like, let's talk about how you feel about your body changing in any direction. And grief is a very big part of that, that our culture tends to skip over. But I always like to talk about that, because once we sit in the grief, I call it sitting in the suck, right? Because it's a sucky place to be. On the other end of sitting in the suck is this place of, okay, now I can do the work. Now I can work on acceptance. Now I can work on mourning gluten or this thing in a more positive way, or whatever. Now I can move on with my life. So grief is really important. And if that comes up for you, I just want to say that's really, really normal.
And I want to share too, that I'm glad you brought that up, because it's critically important. And we are, in my mind, coming out of a collective shock trauma that a lot of us are walking wounded just as a collective. So understanding that is another layer on top of whether we're feeling poorly now or not.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
And giving not only ourselves space and grace to grieve, but I've noticed the community at large, people all react differently at different stages of grief. And I think that's where I'm seeing a lot of people acting in ways I'm like, oh, that's unexpected.
So yeah, grieving, very important. And that's another reason to reach out. If you're feeling sad or shame or guilty or any of those sort of emotions start to creep into food and body, absolutely, that's the perfect time to reach out and just talk about it, because shame doesn't live in the darkness, as we know, right? Like we hold it up to the light, and it just, when we name it, sometimes it just feels a little bit better.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. Well, we're just about out of time. And any final last thoughts? And then how can people get a hold of you if they'd like to know more?
Yeah. So you can find me at my website, which is happyvalleynutrition.com. We're based out of Western Massachusetts. And, you know, sometimes we can see people in other states. It just depends on your insurance. But we also have a newsletter that I write about body image and making peace with food and body, if that's interesting to you. And you can also contact me through that website, which is happyvalleynutrition.com.
I love it. And it's a great newsletter. It's filled with lots of valuable information about healthy eating and the idea of coming to terms with where you are, who you are, and how you are. I just love it.
Yeah.
Very, very body positive.
Yeah. So,
everyone, that's Amanda Mittman at happyvalleynutrition.com. It'll also be over at understandingautoimmune.com if you're like, okay, I'm doing something, I can't write that down right now. And so thank you so much, Amanda, for shining a light on this often overlooked and not talked about part of our well-being and optimizing our health every day.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Everyone, Thank you so much for being here today. Join us next week for another brand new episode. Check us out over at Facebook. It's Understanding Autoimmune. And you can check us out on Twitter and Instagram, where it's Understanding Autoimmune, either that or Autoimmune Hour. Got both of those over there. And be sure and like our show. That keeps us growing and going. Everyone have a great week. Whatever your adventures, enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites, and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
For the next few minutes, we'll be providing a guided meditation. Meditation is a positive way to help reset your day and does require specific, targeted attention and focus. Please do not drive or operate machinery during this time. As we say here, drive when you drive and meditate when you meditate.
Find a comfortable spot. Take a moment to move about, shake out all the nooks and crannies, get comfortable. Shake out your fingers and your toes, taking some nice deep breaths, and extend the exhale. If it feels right for you, make a noise on the exhale. Great way to let go of any last little stress. In the next few moments, go to your favorite spot. You know the place. Real or imaginary doesn't matter here. Take a moment to savor the colors, the smells, the textures and the patterns. Continuing to breathe deep and extend the exhale. Clearing your mind of any little thoughts that are just wandering through. Letting your mind relax as your body is relaxed. That's right. Take this time to explore your inner truth. That's right. What is true for you? That's right. Continuing to breathe deep as you explore what is true for me. If any little thoughts wander through that don't feel quite right, don't feel the way you want them to, take a moment to explore them, thanking them for showing up as they did. That's right. Noticing what you would like to change and allowing that to happen. Continuing to breathe deep through each change, each thought, each moment. As your inner truth begins to take shape, continue to let creativity and imagination guide you. That's right.
Let it go. Continuing to breathe deep. Anything that no longer works for you, let it go. Keeping only that which is for your highest good. That's right. Take all the time you need in the next few moments now to thank those parts of you that shared their inner truth for you. That's right. Thank each and every part for sharing, knowing that you can come back here at any time to continue this exploration. Anytime, anywhere. Giving gratitude for this moment, this place, and this time. Take some nice, deep, cleansing breaths as you begin to come back to the present moment. Right here, right now. Alert, awake, and ready to begin again. Eyes wide open. Nice deep breath to welcome you back. That's right. Welcome back.